Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh,
you're in the madhouse now.
It's time for the Steve and Kyle podcast with Steve.
In the first couple weeks that we dated, we watched that entire series.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen.
60-some episodes.
This was early 20s Steve. It was Breaking Bad and Breaking Beds. Like, it was just an episode.
Breaking Bad, Breaking Beds.
That's right.
And that's all I needed to fuel me through the night.
And Kyle.
Here and in the coming weeks, the staff here, obviously you'll partake, and we'll get our to the staff gift exchange.
Is there
always
one,
a joy.
Is there one person you hope you don't get? Look, this is just me talking.
Lisa and HR can suck an egg.
Okay? I don't know if that's the person you want to tell to suck an egg. The person in HR.
Now, here they are, two guys who are living in style, Steve and Kyle.
Alrighty.
It's been a while.
I know. A couple weeks-ish.
It's this time of year where our schedule, our recording schedule gets all wonky.
Yeah, like we're doing, you know, two and then one and then nothing for 3 weeks and then we have four all at once. And,
yeah, I remembered.
That intro, though, reminded me that, so at this point you should have received a response back if you're taking part in the winter solstice gift exchange.
That's right.
So I now know who I am paired up with for the gift exchange. So I placed an order earlier in the week and the gift showed up and boy, I cannot wait for them to feast their eyes on the beauty that is the gift I gave them. I kept it within the price range. I think I was at $17.
Sure. I've had my, you know, what a lot of the layman idiots call white elephant gift, right?
Yeah.
You know, back in my day, we called it, you know, Indian style. No,
there. Yeah, I think that's out of favor.
So it's not, it's a white elephant? White elephant style?
White elephant is probably, yeah. A lot of stuff, yeah. There's certain things that, like, I know a game that we used to play on the playground at school. It was when one person would go down the slide and then they'd stop at the bottom and then a person would come down and slide right into them.
Oh,
and
okay.
Somebody going down would slide right into them.
Was now, that the New Jersey favorite Block the Minorities?
No, it was not. That was, now we called it Squash the Lemon, which is perfectly acceptable. I found out years ago that some of my coworkers who were about 9 or 10 years older than me, they referred to that game as Smear the Queer.
Oh my gosh, that's absolutely correct.
Yeah.
I remember that now too.
Did you call it? Was it a regional thing or a
generational thing? I'm pretty sure that was a national trend because those words just rang in my ear. And as I age, I always prided myself on having a decent memory, but that right there jostled like a little nugget
like
loose.
A little connection was just...
Yeah, because I had forgotten that was absolutely a thing.
Yeah.
I don't remember it that way. I don't remember that game being that way. I remember that game being whoever had the football. It was just a large group of kids running around.
Okay.
And whoever happened to have the football, the whole group would then scream,
"Smear the queer!"
Smear the queer, and chase that person down, and smother them, and steal the ball.
Okay, maybe I'm getting games mixed up. That could be the game that they played as well.
This is not going on the poll.
No,
we're not getting a clarification via poll.
No.
We're not mentioning this. Boy, there was, yeah, that, huh.
Maybe just a general question. What were the insensitive name? No, never mind.
I'll just put, did you play insensitively named games on the playground as a kid?
In hindsight.
Yes.
Did you play insensitively named games on the playground?
Man.
I think that's a great post. You do not need to post what the names of the games were, because I really don't want this post to gain a lot of traction in any way.
You know, I thought about that. I thought about recently, even if we were to go back into our archives, you know, 7 years now, what would it be that would get, you know, us canceled? And then I realized nobody listens and we pay for our own stuff anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we going to do? Get some of those automated ads who are going to not automate on our podcast?
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, it's just not in our nature to be that way, but there's nothing really stopping you and I from becoming what, you know, you thought about in college and I thought about while interning over there at the side gig.
Mm.
And that's becoming a couple of shock jocks.
Yeah. I mean, the industry has never been more ripe for that. Yeah, the radio industry definitely is all about giving the people on the air creative freedom.
Yeah.
To talk about what they want.
Yep.
Yeah.
I want, when inevitably ads are being sold to big time media companies.
Yeah, the big advertising agencies.
Yeah. I want you and I to enter that realm of, and I forget the show's names. Dave Ramsey, not Dave Ramsey.
Oh, like, are you talking like the do not buy list?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
I want you and I to finally approach the pantheon of cannot air on the Steve and Kyle podcast because of the one time Kyle said Indian style and right. the time that Steve and Kyle discussed they were actively hating disenfranchised people playing Smear the Queer.
Yeah. No, I don't... That's kind of the kiss of death once you're on
is
that.
It?
Yeah, if you're on that list.
But couldn't we, like, you know, get some traction out of that? Next thing you know, you and I are counterculture. And we're...
Yeah, that's what I need. That's what I want.
Finally leave those monkey feces flinging schmucks behind.
See?
And you and I can make the big bucks run an anti, you know, big butt man stuff.
Anti-big man stuff.
Right.
Okay, see, I think that you, being somebody who... works in the, we'll call it the private sector.
Yeah.
You have the luxury of being on the blacklist for podcast advertisers.
Oh, we can get you blacklisted.
I don't want to be on that because then my worlds may start to collide. And no, I need another, how old am I? Early 30s, mm-hmm. 42.
So you need another 20 years?
I need another, I was going to say... 15 to 20.
Okay.
I mean, retiring at 57, sure, that would be a dream.
Right.
Chances of it happening, zero. But...
You probably got the yearly check-in coming with the finance man. Just, I want you to, you know, like they do in movies when they don't want the money they write on sticky notes to become irrelevant.
Yeah.
You know, when people are watching the movie 20 years later.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to write the age that you want to retire on a stick. Fold it in half. And just slide it. And then just see what Big Dutch Ron says.
Do you do that? Do you do the yearly check-in with your own Big Dutch Ron?
Well, I don't have one. My wife has one.
Okay.
Just because her company did not have, or still doesn't, either way, a 401k, that type of thing.
Do you have one?
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
I mean, listen.
Whoa! Hold on. Hold the phone.
You tell me you don't get those monkeys matching you up to a certain percentage?
Look, I knew that when you, when Corporate Kyle left the pop world and...
Well, surprise. I had a 401k in the pop world. The only way to keep people around in that terrible industry...
is with a 401k.
Well, you have to give them some type of perks.
Yeah, I have like a, what is it, an IRA.
Okay.
But
garbage.
It's not matched by anyone else. It's just me making my own IRA. Big Dutch Ron was like, hey, you should set this up. And look, you want to scam me? Get to Big Dutch Ron because I'll do anything that man says.
Well, right. You're assuming he's going to have all of your best interests at heart.
Yeah.
So when he's, you know, says one of the three letter words, IRA, FHL. Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds good.
NBA. They related to DHL. You give him a couple shoulder punches, laughing.
NBA, right? LeBron.
Check it once a year. Like, boy, I felt like I had more in there last year. Nah, that can't be right. See you next year.
That is, those are always the most sobering moments because we have, again, we have Big Dutch Ron, who, it sounds weird to say, but handles the finances. But in reality, he just says, hey, you know, you might want to contribute a little bit more to your 401k or your, no, not the 401k, the IRA this year. And we say, okay, cool. Sounds good. And then he types in some numbers and then he pulls up this page that is basically my guiding light in life, which says, if you want to retire by this age, and then it sets all the benchmarks. You need this much by
but how
this
much
age,
you need
this much okay. by this age.
Yeah.
Oh, you want your kids to go to college? All right. He types in a couple numbers, factors that in. And then I see the percentage go from like before we had kids, I had like 112% chance of being able to retire at 70. Now it's down to, you know, two kids later. Oh, you got a mortgage? Oh, you had to get a new car in there? Okay. Ah, we're down around 30% now. Cool. That's neat. That's real neat. So
it's so deflating.
I didn't expect that this was going to turn into a depressing podcast about my financial future. How did we start?
What and as usual, about? Yeah, I don't remember how we got here. So my apologies.
Hold on, let's go back. What did we?
It might be some deflection. Listen, it has not been a very positive, uplifting week and a half around here.
No, it's been real sad. If I could get serious for a moment, we had to feel us into the side gig. I had talked about this, but we had to unfortunately had to put down our 13-year-old Lola Bear, which was, very, very, very sad. Day before Thanksgiving, we had to do that. Kind of expected, but kind of like in hindsight, we knew that she didn't have a ton of time left. Just didn't expect it on that day at that time. It was all like within a half hour, it was like, oh, no, we need to go to the vet. And then, boom, she's gone. Mm. So it's been, it's been kind of rough. We're still processing the whole thing.
A lot of people have gone through.
Sure, everyone has. Similar. I know I'm in no way unique in this.
Well, no, but I what I mean is a lot of people maybe not have had dogs as a kid and just never carried that in. So that's
like my wife. My wife had never. She did growing up. She was her dad would not let them have pets other than like goldfish. Mm-hmm. That was the only pet that she ever had was a fish growing up. So when she got to college, she got a guinea pig, which is like the pet that every six-year-old kid has. And then once she got out of college, she got a cat and then she got another cat. So she had two cats when I met her. And those were her first like real, these are my pets.
Yeah.
Type of pets.
And cats, as you found out, are just super easy to pawn off as.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You've
just,
done.
Yeah. You just give them away. Give them to your mother-in-law. By the way, Abby will be back here for a 2-week stay coming up in the month of March.
Oh, wow. So, I mean, you're prepped 3 months, 3 months out.
Well, her parents are going away for, they're going down south for 2 or 3 weeks, I think.
I'm guessing right now the house and, mostly you and Annette are in a phase and not to presume how that it will change. But I think with animals, there's that stage of, I never want to go through this again.
Yeah.
I'm not getting another pet.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
is that where you and Annette both are, do you think, right now, if you had to estimate?
Oh, never. I will write this in concrete.
Oh, you will. Oh, well, I'm super glad you mentioned that because I have the document with the last proclamation you made.
Okay. Well, hey, just add amendment A to it.
Yeah, Steve 1A. Okay, I have it ready.
Okay.
I want to make sure I get this verbatim as we, and this is perfect timing because you can choose yourself whether to put a time frame on this flatly or if you want to give it a deadline.
You want a time frame?
No. I don't want to influence your...
I'll give you a time frame.
Okay, I am ready to...
Eternity. Eternity.
Let me get this down verbatim how you want this said, because you came out pretty strongly.
So maybe timeline colon eternity.
Timeline, yeah, okay, yeah. I'll capitalize that because you seem very... very forceful with it. So
capital, like all caps.
Yeah. Eternity is all caps. And just to make sure we don't forget it, bold.
Yeah.
Okay. So timeline eternity. Steve won a timeline eternity.
Yeah. Hear ye.
Of course, as all good statements start in the 1800s.
I, Steve, of the Steve and Kyle podcast.
Boy, this is identical so far.
To my last proclamation.
To your last proclamation.
Okay, well, look, I have my own style. Hereby declare that after Toby crosses the Rainbow Bridge, we will never have another pet in this house.
Oh, God.
Ever again. Parentheses, fish don't count as pets.
Oh, agreed.
Right.
Anything you can flush down the toilet does not count as a pet.
It's decoration.
Yeah, anything that... like, if you felt like it, you could, you know, just dump in a trash can and not feel an ounce of or a twinge of regret.
Yeah.
Does not count. I'll post that in the poll as well. Okay. Here's my theory.
Okay.
Because I think, and I'm not telling you that you're incorrect whatsoever. I think this phase, you get to a point where, I don't know if you had that conversation with yourself and with Annette when you were... debating or trying to figure out when you wanted to try to have another child.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, I think they need, you know, Evelyn needs a friend. Toby needs someone to play with. I need whatever it may be, but that phase is not right now.
It's weird though. Looking back, I don't think we really ever had that conversation.
Okay.
That was kind of handled in the, like the getting to know you phase or the we're seriously dating phase. We had determined then, okay, if like we want to get married, we want to have two kids.
So you guys were seriously dating. You were already planning out the...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So after Evelyn, it was never a, do we want to try for a second? It was a, how long is it going to be before we do? It wasn't if, it was when.
Okay. I just feel like this is a phase and maybe it will be with Annette because I think... You know, you're gone from work and just generally a person who doesn't like many things.
Oh, wait, what?
Sorry. That was more of the internal monologue.
Boy. So you?
Oh, yeah. We've all been thinking it.
You're going to describe me as someone who doesn't like many things?
Well, listen, I'm glad you mentioned that because in a few minutes, once we wrap this up, I want to bring up to you about the idea of like different kinds of friendship because you've joked for a while that I haven't made a friend in 10 years.
I'm still convinced I'm the last friend you made.
God, you might be. I mean, we'd have to classify what friend means, right?
Okay, yeah, maybe we can do that. I'm sure we can.
Let's get into the nitty gritty on that.
Come up with some parameters to what justifies a friend.
But I feel like Annette would be the one because she is takes care of the kids and is home more than you and just generally cares more.
You know, you were doing okay.
I think Annette would be the one months down the road, a year down the road, whatever it may be, to say, I think we should explore getting another dog or cat. Maybe she wants to go back to the cat. Well,
I mean, I think that's accurate. She's already talked about possibly volunteering, like with the Humane Society.
Ugh, I've wanted to do that for so long.
Which I am in. I've told her I am 100% in full support of.
You would.
But I said, you know what happens. I mean, that's a slippery
slope. You're getting
a dog. Yeah, that's a slippery slope. Like,
or multiple dogs.
Oh, I'm going to go and be a dog walker for the Humane Society 2 days a week and take 5-6 dogs on a walk.
Yep.
All it's going to take is that one, you know, with like the screwed up paw or like the dog that can't bark for some reason, right, or it's got no nose that nobody wants to adopt, and you're going to fall in love with that dog.
Yeah.
And then we're going to have that dog.
Yep.
And then 10 years from now, that dog is going to die.
Yep.
And the
clock restarts.
Clock resets.
Yeah. I've long wanted to do work at a humane society or animal mm-hmm. shelter, but I know there's no earthly way I would be able to do that mentally. I would just get in my car every afternoon or night after turning the lights off and hearing those cages of dogs and cats. Well, I wouldn't care about the cats. Leave the door unlocked. Let them, slink outside.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure you're fit for humane society.
But the dogs? I'd be like buying mattresses.
So your financial future is ruined.
Yeah, because I'm now spending every penny I have and every waking moment trying to make these poor shelter dogs' lives better. But I would turn those lights off and like go to my car, and I would probably just have to sit and cry for like 30 minutes every day, feeling terrible that these dogs are now left there overnight.
So you're volunteering is going to make you go bankrupt, probably.
Yeah, and sad. So not the way people think that volunteering is supposed to go, which is, rewarding and helpful and mm-hmm. saving lives. No, for me, I'm now bankrupt and miserable.
Okay. All right.
And I'll post that in the poll as well. Should volunteering make you bankrupt and or miserable?
And miserable, yeah.
Because I don't have that in me to leave that there.
Yeah, I don't think I'm that kind of person either. It's, if I'm going to volunteer, it's going to be in a different way, something where I'm not, like, I volunteered when I was still in New Jersey for Habitat for Humanity.
Okay.
And I loved that because it was, you didn't really, I mean, yeah, there were touching stories, but you didn't, while you're there building a house, it wasn't, I don't know, it was just different.
Yeah.
There was attachment, but it wasn't that kind of attachment.
Well, you're just waiting for that make-a-wish call for that one sad sap 9-year-old who wants a ride in like a piece of junk Comanche.
Yeah, 88 Jeep Comanche Pioneer.
That you would then have to like shovel out of storage because the kid is about
it starts up and drives.
And then you have to bring them back to the children's hospital smelling of fuel and exhaust.
Okay. You're getting more accurate as the story goes on.
That's all you need to realize your make a wish.
Is there a kid right now that's in a children's hospital somewhere whose wish is to take a ride in a multicolored Jeep Comanche? I don't think so.
I just sent you a text,
mm-hmm.
and I want you to pull that up because I don't know what made me use the advanced search. I was curious about what our very first tweets were.
Okay.
The other day,
yeah.
And now mentioning the Comanche had me thinking about this because 7 years ago,
mm-hmm. oh wow,
you had a heck of a perch. Now this was just 6 months into our podcast.
This was, October 19th. Well, really, this was like, technically, this
10 episodes?
This was about a month into our podcast. Yeah. I mean, we did our first episodes in like June. We did maybe a couple of episodes, but then we didn't really start doing a weekly episode until September.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. This is probably single digit episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the first, I'll call it, terrible purchase you've ever made. And I felt like that looked familiar enough. That's not the Comanche, is it?
No.
Okay, good.
Definitely not. No, that is.
When I saw that, I thought, boy, that the color looked similar, but I thought, there's no way this was the Comanche. Like,
no.
This isn't just a salvage job. This thing is an abomination.
Yeah, this was when I still had the white Jeep.
Right.
The 1980 Jeep CJ5 that I had grand plans for. Like I do for a lot of things. I was going to mm-hmm. pull the motor out of it and put a better motor in it. So I found a good deal on this, probably a 90, 93, 94, 95 Chevy S10 that had been rolled over multiple times.
And that's right. This was quite possibly the first murder vehicle or death vehicle incarnation.
This was, you know, I got a good deal. This might have been the original deal of the century.
Do you remember what you paid out of pocket for this thing?
It says right here, I paid $300 okay. for it.
I think we need to repost this picture and say, do you think, because I think you're right. I think that's worth $300.
Well, I was
just able, for parts.
I know that I, let's see, because spoiler alert, it didn't really work out with, I pulled the motor out of this thing. I sold the shell of the vehicle without the motor,
right,
for I think $150. So at that point I was down to $150 into it. And then I think once I decided I wasn't going to use the motor, I think I sold that for $100. So I think I'm out like $50 on this whole thing. So luckily I didn't lose a ton of money, but I didn't make any money either.
What did you do with the rest of the carcass? Once you got the motor out and moved it, did you have to pay to have it hauled away?
No, it was, I kept it at a friend of mine who lives a couple minutes from here, has a big pole barn. So I took it over to his house. We pulled the motor out there and I was able to sell the rest of the body. I was able to sell the rolling body for, I want to say it was 100 or 150. I don't remember exactly.
Now that motor made its way
to
the Jeep that you then sold.
Well, it made
your daily driver Jeep, though, right?
No. It
what Jeep did you put that? Was it? Did you put that in the murder Jeep that you then flipped?
No, this was going to go in the. Do you remember the white Jeep?
I guess not.
You helped me pull a transmission out of that Jeep.
I mean, if listen,
well, no problem at all, because I'll just pull up some pictures of that bad
There's
boy.
No harder lineage to track. Outside of your living arrangements, than your automobile purchases.
Still, again, I've moved one time more than you have.
Feels like a million. But this is your motor vehicle history is impossible to keep track of.
It's not. It's.
I mean, not just your daily drivers, but your investment vehicles, everything else. Since I've known you, 2010, when at that point you owned two mid-80s Ford Rangers.
No, two early 90s.
Early 90s Ford Rangers.
I had a 93 and a 98, I think.
I don't think I would. I would probably miss more than half of the vehicles that you had your name on title for.
Okay. I might as well.
there's been enough.
So I'm gonna do a quick screen share here.
Okay.
Tell me if you remember this vehicle.
I don't.
Really?
I don't remember you having a soft top. Is that even a soft top, or is that just a piece of canvas stretched over the top?
That's what they call a bikini top.
Oh, God. Woof.
So you actually crawled around under this thing with me and helped me take a transmission out.
Were you on your way to go pick up Indiana Jones?
Oh, look, making a special guest appearance in the background. Do you remember that car?
Nope.
That was my Subaru WRX.
Okay. So you were on your way to the Temple of Doom, but in case you needed a daily driver or to hit the drift course, had the WRX.
Like, this was during my time frame when I was heavily influenced by Fast and the Furious.
That's right. 2003's Tokyo Drift. Caused Steve to buy what looked to be a daily driver WRX. Okay, I just wanted to bring this to your attention. This brought me back to the good old days. Right. And seeing this picture reminded me of when people say, like, man, your podcast used to be funny. Because we were sitting here looking at this $300 turd where someone died. No, God, drove that?
Yeah.
I don't remember that at all.
This was the fastest car I've ever driven.
Like, to work?
Yeah.
As an adult?
I got this car after my last relationship ended.
Okay, so that was probably 2012? Okay.
13. Yeah, 2013. Because, okay, let's see. Do you remember
what went inside that day, relationship ended, and through tears, you know, you were probably, you know, trimming pubes, getting ready to hit the dating world, and looking at bitching cars.
You don't remember this vehicle?
No. No, what is that?
That was my 2000 Jeep Wrangler, which you drove me to the dealership to pick this car up.
This just goes to show how quickly I can't wait to forget these things.
Because as payment, we went to Wendy's. We went to the Wendy's right around the corner on Port Shelby.
You bought a 2000 Jeep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so again, the timeline in my head is all screwed up. Was this before the race car or after the race car?
Okay, so when I moved here, I'm going to go through my whole lineage.
Oh, for God's sake, reset the clock.
When I moved here, I had 93 Ford Ranger, 98 Ford Ranger. One was four-wheel drive, one was two-wheel drive. So that way I had a vehicle for every season. Okay. Decided to get rid of red truck, get rid of blue truck. Bought this Jeep. This is the first Jeep I ever owned.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved it. Broke up with my ex-girlfriend, and I felt like this is a time of change for me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to sell this thing. I regretted selling that thing as the guy was backing it out of my driveway at my old house. I loved that Jeep so much. But I immediately regretted it and bought a 2005 Subaru WRX.
So sold that.
Sold the Jeep. Bought a Subaru.
There's no reason you should remember. Did you sell the Jeep at a loss because it was so quick to flip? Or did you kind of break even?
No, I feel like I did well on it. I don't think I lost money on it. Luckily, Jeeps seem to hold their value pretty well. Sold that. So at that point, I just had the WRX again because I was Tokyo drifting.
Based on the timeline, 10 years too late.
Yeah, roughly.
Then, hey, guys.
Then I wanted a project vehicle, so I bought that white Jeep that I showed you just a few minutes ago that you have no recollection of. Then that's when this red truck comes into the story, because I wanted to buy that to take the engine out of it to put it in the white Jeep. So technically I owned this. I never registered or insured it.
Right.
Because it was a bit of a hazard on the highway.
Yeah, don't know if you'd have been road approved.
Got rid of that, kept the white Jeep for a little while longer, eventually got the gray murder Jeep, which I drove as my daily driver for 4 years or so. That's when I got rid of the white Jeep. Bought that black Jeep with Cy Noll and Ryan Young, fixed that up. I feel like I'm missing at least.
You have to have been. I mean, I had totally forgotten this thing.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Oh, I know for a fact you will not remember this car at all, even though I had it for 2 years, 2.5 years. Do you in any way remember?
That's a midsize SUV.
That's a Subaru Crosstrek.
I know for a fact I'm just molding that with Annette's SUV. No, no, no. The answer's no, Steve. I don't remember you having. That's the one. I don't remember that.
Oh, with our Lola Bear laying right next to them.
Even she's disappointed in your purchase.
She's like, what did you do? Why'd you buy this piece of crap?
This thing? Really?
Yeah,
I didn't remember that.
Yeah.
Wow. It's actually amazing that I was helping, you know, pull a transmission of a vehicle that I didn't even know you owned. Apparently my brain starts with the murder Jeep.
The murder Jeep, yeah.
Or Rangers, and then jumps to murder Jeep and forgot everything else in between.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I'm glad you got the old race car vroom vroom phase out of your life, because there's no chance after that you'd make such a dumb purchase, right?
Yeah, no, I'm good.
You got, I agree. I think you saying to Annette, I'm going to buy this Comanche.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, it's selfish and doesn't make sense at all for having.
Why is it selfish?
I mean, again, it's not really like a car you can ride around with the family. Hey, sorry, leave both kids behind. Let's go.
Disagree.
Let's go hit the road.
Me and Nikki are going to have a blast working on that thing. He actually does show interest. Evelyn did for a short period of time.
Oh, yeah. Evelyn's got it right.
So, but yeah, I wonder where this truck is now. That's a nice pull right there.
Yeah, we'll have to post that picture so everybody can see what you were buying a little over 7 years ago as part of your investment
and your was that a local junkyard, do you remember?
No, I bought that from a place. It was like a 2-hour drive to go and get that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I had to borrow a friend's truck and trailer and tow that thing back. And it almost popped off the trailer at one point. It was dangerous. It was real sketchy.
Well, let's just add that to the pantheon of Steve's purchases.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're in the madhouse now.
Kyle, I wanted to run something by you, see if you had possibly seen this while perusing Golf Digest like I did last week.
Well, listen, I actually, as I age, it's funny you mentioned that. I did just send a Golf Digest article yesterday, and this is big news. I'll wait to get to it. I don't want to interrupt you.
Could be the A-bit next week.
There is some fervor among the golf community about what's going on in the USGA.
Okay. Well, yeah, this is not that, but this post kind of went viral. I've also seen a lot of like reels on Instagram talking about this same thing, and it's how women are just in awe of their husbands or their boyfriends because they can have somebody who they refer to as their best friend,
mm-hmm.
yet know nothing about them at all.
Oh my God. So that's the dream.
The personal post, like, so my husband went golfing with his, you know, quotes, air quotes, best friend yesterday.
Yeah.
When he got home, I asked him, oh, how's Marie, his wife? I don't know. Well, how's his new job? Didn't come up. How are his kids? He has kids?
That's gorgeous.
Like, what's new? Are they traveling for the holidays? I have no idea.
I am beaming ear to ear right now at just the idea, because that's the dream.
Yeah. So there's this post, I think it was on Twitter, that had gone viral. And the guy says, I have one golf friend I play with regularly.
Okay.
I met him through work and call him Hammer. That might be his last name. I do not know his first name. I called him Kirkland for about a year before he told me he plays Kirkland balls. And it's not his name. Okay. So you just knew. So it'd be like calling the guy Titleist or.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Callaway.
Hey, Ping.
Hey, okay. Tiger Woods.
Yeah. We don't talk about anything besides basic golf chit chat. Like, your ball is over there. I think it went long, etc. After golf, we decide when we were playing the following weekend. I might text him, golf? With a question mark. Do I know what his family did for Thanksgiving? Nope. Is he married? Kids? I have no idea how he even identifies. I have never done anything besides golf with this guy. I checked 18 birdies. We went out 36 times this year. After my dog, he's my best friend.
Okay.
So I saw this and I thought, this is you.
There's no bigger dream.
Than that?
Than that. I mean, honestly, I've told you for a while, I am not interested in any new meaningful friendships or anything in my age.
Now,
it's too much work. There's no reward. And I don't understand people who do it.
Now, I've asked you this question multiple times in the mm-hmm. history of this podcast. When's the last time you made a friend?
Mm. Mm-hmm. And that's a fine question.
Is it me? Am I the last one?
You like, would have been 2010 when we
became friends.
Yeah.
Did you then say, all right, chapter closed?
It's weird because, boy, I guess, you know, not to invoke Bill Clinton, But how do you define friend?
You have to be the first person in the history of the world to ask that question.
Because you would consider, you know, Doug and Bob friends, right? But you've known them for a long time. But now they live further away.
Mm-hmm. Still friends.
Do you communicate? Okay. I just feel like that really puts a seal on it, you know? Because at that point, it's a very socially based relationship, right? Like you're checking on their news feed or their Instagram, or you're texting them, right?
Put it this way. I have a group text with me, Bob, and our friend Ken. I've known Ken since, I think, my freshman year of college.
Mm-hmm.
We text at least once or twice a week, just about general BS.
Okay.
Hey, check out what I saw today. Or, you know, look what I'm working on at the house. Check out what, at the kids' baseball game today.
Yeah.
You don't, that's foreign to you, right?
Oh, God, yeah. Any of those communications are coming from people I've known for, at this point, 20 years.
Okay.
I would say the last good friend I made was probably 1998.
So you, at that point, were how old?
I was 11 years old.
Okay. So while you do consider me a friend.
Yeah, let's call it acquaintance.
Acquaintance. Okay.
But I feel like, boy, I'm glad we're getting into the nitty gritty. Because I do feel like you can't be just an acquaintance when you've known someone for 13 years, right?
Well, I think that after...
We're coming up on 14 years.
After 400 episodes of doing a podcast together.
Yeah.
I would consider you a friend. Okay. I think so.
I mean, I'll post it on the poll. I don't want to go, you know, Evel Knievel jump in the canyon here and making bold proclamations, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Let's take it easy.
Okay. So how many episodes of a podcast do you have to do with somebody before you're friends? Because there's the legendary story of comedians Penn and Teller.
Mm-hmm. Never friends.
They are not friends. They are business partners.
Yeah. Well, we can't call ourselves that.
No. Yeah. We'd have to be in the black. We are in the red.
If we were business partners, we'd put out of business a long time ago.
Another example I can think of is the guys from Mythbusters.
Really?
What were their names? It was Jamie and...
The bald guy, or was Jamie the bald guy?
I think Jamie was the bald guy with the mustache. Twisty mustache.
Yeah.
And then I forget what the other... Adam. Adam Savage.
That's right.
Yeah. And Jamie Heineman.
And then the female...
Yes.
That they had in there as
well. But specifically, the two main guys on that show did not get along. Are not.
I guess I didn't know that. Yeah, I'd
read an article about that. They have zero plans of ever working together in the future again. I think that they just realized that it was one of those. It was a good work chemistry. They were able to bounce ideas off of each other well. They reacted to each other well. Mm-hmm. There was good chemistry there. Hence, the show was born. Great success. But yeah, when it ended, I think both of them were just like, okay, well, they handled it as if they were leaving a job.
You think they still send a Christmas card?
Oh, boy.
Like, is that the definition of we just never liked each other? We weren't even acquaintances, but we were coworkers, but they're still sending Christmas cards because of the act of being cordial?
Probably. So does a Christmas card, maybe put this on the poll,
mean friendship?
Yeah, does a Christmas card mean friendship?
Because I would say no.
Okay, because we got your Christmas card in the mail, I think, 2 days ago.
Yeah, and let me tell you, you were, let's call it, on the list of 25.
25.
That's all I bought. You were, and let me say, full seriousness, most of my family didn't get one of those.
Your brother got one?
Yeah, and he was mad at me, because I only addressed it to my sister-in-law and my two nephews. Left his name right off
the
envelope.
Did you send one to my brother?
I did.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're not friends with my brother, though, are you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. That's you and me, acquaintance. Me and Mike.
Buds.
Friends.
Buds. Okay.
Like, Brother Mike, I feel like I would be friends with Brother Mike's neighbors like he is.
Whoa.
Like, really?
This might be the most bold thing you've ever said.
But your neighbors suck.
Why?
I mean, the frisbee tossers, not interested. The off-white icicles till May, no thanks.
Okay, so
But this is an interesting question of what is a friendship at our age, because obviously it's defined a little different, right? We're not in high school. We're not going to the game on Friday.
Right, yeah.
I would argue, you know, you and I, we would see each other for probably 3 or 4 years. We would see each other once a week, minimum, yeah. Right? We would go to a hockey game or we'd be at the workplace, whatever it may be. But now, obviously, that's all different just based on life circumstance. Sure. So let me pose a question to you. I'm glad this got brought up.
Okay.
Because it seems my wife has taken to drop-off/pickup at the kindergarten building.
Mm-hmm.
Went out to lunch with a mom of another one of the kids. Took Reed to the birthday party of that kid. Mm-hmm. She was not invited to his.
Okay.
And now that one of my son's classmates has moved in on the same road as us, now has the phone number and contact for the mother of that kid as well, and has communicated.
Wow, that's impressive, because so, I know that your wife, I feel like she's a little bit more open to other people than you are.
Yuck. But let me maybe shock you a little bit then.
Okay.
Because that's the type of new acquaintanceship, that's the type of new relationship that I would want. 3 to 5 minutes, maybe three times a week at pickup or drop off, because her and I split it pretty much dead even. I'll drop him off 3 to 4 days, pick him up the other 1 to 2 days. She'll do the opposite based on work schedule.
That's how our Evelyn is 3 days a week. Annette always drops her off. I always pick her up unless there's some, you know, I have an appointment now then.
Yeah. But. And I've seen those people that my wife now communicates with. Boy. And has phone numbers with. And I got to tell you, I have a welcoming gaze. And there is just not that same like, oh, hey, Kyle, or hey, Reed's dad, whatever. Mm-hmm. There's not that repertoire of friendliness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay, I guess. I mean, I'd be open to it in that facility. Okay. But I know there's other dads, other families, and I do drop off. And I bring him to his line because they line up outside with their classmates, and then you're supposed to step back so the line's not all muddied.
Mm-hmm.
And I do that every day. It's there, right? Like I'm open to it.
It's there for the.
That's it, though.
So do you think that, because even though you say you're open to it, do you think that your horrible body language says otherwise to other people? And maybe that's why you haven't been approached yet.
Boy, it might. I feel like, listen, I don't want to brag. I feel like I probably get referenced by other families at home.
How so?
I drop Reed off, and granted, the world is totally different than what it was, you know, 20, 30 years ago, right?
Quick question. Yeah. When you drop him off, do you take your foot off the gas as you're pushing him out the door?
He has learned to unbuckle himself. So I just give him an extra
tuck and roll.
I just give him an extra elbow and a couple honks and make sure the teacher like sees like, hey, kid rolling, grab him.
Okay.
But I feel like my parents probably were just like itching to get me on the bus in the morning. Right. Mm-hmm. We bring, cause it's close enough that we can bring Reed and pick him up. So I bring him in line, get down to the level, make sure his hat, his gloves are on. I'm hugging him, talking to him. And it feels probably different than what was normal 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when we were growing up, our parents were there to
they hated us.
Provide financial support for the burdens that they brought into the world.
That's right.
And that's about it.
And promptly be rid of us.
Yeah, maybe tell you that they love you once a year in a birthday card.
That's right. So... But then I give him hugs and love, and I step back behind, usually step behind the flagpole so that the lines can be, like I said, normal. And I wait, and him and I'll make sure that we still make eye contact at least once more. And then we do a little blow kisses routine to each other.
Yeah.
And I feel like, Steve, I feel like some of the moms are going home and saying, why don't you do that?
Oh, so you think that you're, that the other moms, you think that the moms are putting you up on a pedestal and comparing them, comparing you to their schlub husband?
Yeah, showing up and, you know.
Boy, I gotta tell you, I feel the same way.
Are we?
I am one of the only dads in the whole facility when it's time to pick up kids. And I'm not Mr. Macho guy who's like, you know, walking in my hard hat. Yeah. Being like, come on, kid, get in the car.
Yeah, just got off of the construction site. Sorry for the concrete on my boots.
No, I'm excited to see my daughter. I get down, give her a big hug.
Oh, it's the best part.
Yeah. Pick her up. How was your day? Oh, what do you want to do on daddy-daughter date day? And you better believe, you bet your ass I'm saying that loud so all the other parents hear me.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
That deserves to be recognized. Yeah, I feel
exactly.
I wish that those people would know what I'm like in real life. Because then they would see, whoa, he must really love his son because he hates everyone else.
This guy has tunnel vision for the few things in life he enjoys.
I'm putting it on the poll. Are Steve and Kyle the best dads?
I swear to God, if this doesn't win poll badness next year, I'm buying this shirt regardless. I'll do a one-off.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we need somehow our caricatures with, like, best dads ever.
those number one dad mugs and stuff.
Just with our faces.
Just our picture. Oh, can we add that to the...
Yes. Okay. Yes, we just need to create it.
Yeah, just do a world's best dad or number one dad.
Oh, never had a better idea.
No. No, I'm buying that shirt with a picture of me on it that says world's best dad.
But is there anything in your... Like, is that something you want? Do you want... Listen, you're just as likely as me to move in the next 6 to 10 months.
What?
Is it?
Look, come on. Again, we've been here for 6 years. We're very happy. Look, we're making a big commitment to this house. We got to put a new roof on it. In the spring. So sign the paperwork the other day.
Oh, dang it. You just gave it away. Yeah. I was just about to make that the A-bit because I was going to ask. Because that feels like something.
There's nothing exciting about this.
That feels like something for you, though, where you... I'll ask you next week. We don't have time today. I want to ask you. Put that on the list. I want to ask you about your new roof.
Okay.
That's exciting. That's a reason to tune in.
That's right. A-bit. Steve's getting a roof.
But is that something you... Do you want... Like, are you kind of holding a gaze maybe in the direction of other parents a little longer, hoping someone maybe says, oh, is that your daughter? Whatever, during pickup or drop-off. Are you hoping for that relationship?
I think that I have a pretty typical relationship. I mean, heavy air quotes, relationship with the other parents at pickup. It's pretty boilerplate. Hey, oh yeah, crazy weather.
I'm starting to think I might look like an asshole because I don't even get that.
And to be clear, I get that very rarely.
Okay.
I think that the parents of the kids that Evelyn goes to school with got a bunch of introverts there.
Okay.
Me included. I am one of them. I've never been guy who walks in like, hey, Sally, how's it going? Robert, up high, give me a high five.
Yeah, right, right, right.
You know, telling jokes or anything like that. There's a little clique of those people there. And they kind of stick to themselves and they're doing the, what'd you guys do this weekend? Oh, cool. How was the holiday? And I'm not in that group, but I...
And it's too late now, right? It's been just long enough that
I kind of want to be, though.
I want to be just maybe referenced in that fashion, right? Like, yeah, you know what I mean? Steve, you know what I mean? Kyle, like, they wouldn't know my name because I've never provided it, but...
What do you think about... I think this might work. Mm-hmm. Wear some of our show merch to pick up. Can we get a varsity jacket?
StephenKyle.com/merch. I feel like there's probably a way, it wouldn't be through our own store, where you and I could get... Now, here's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. You know those, like, brass buttons?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And shiny green, red, blue, whatever material, but then like white sleeves, maybe maybe pleather
like this
on the sleeve,
like a satin jacket,
yeah,
like that you would see the Teamsters wear,
and then either our name right there or our name splashed across the center,
in script. It's got to be embroidered script.
I think we need to look into this. You think a nice talking point is our merch? Yeah. I still have some merch that I have hesitated putting back on the shop. Well, I got pulled off the shop 5 years ago, but I still have it that I want to buy for myself. But I feel like buying the Steve and Kyle as Calvin and Hobbes and wearing it myself is self-indulgent.
A little bit.
But whatever. I want to put a bow on this conversation by referencing something that I just remembered happened probably a month ago.
Okay.
And it was, I mentioned my wife Katie went to lunch with the mom of a daughter in Reed's class. And before that, had taken Reed to her birthday party.
Yeah, it's great. My wife actually exchanged numbers with another mom in Evelyn goes to gymnastics once a week. She exchanged numbers with a mom.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, this is somebody who they must live very close to us because they've seen each other. They've talked at the park.
Okay.
Like many, many times. But gotcha. Yeah, she came home. She's like, I got so-and-so's mom's phone number. We're going to like do a play date at the park. And I was like, what the hell? Like, this is, my wife is just like you. She don't want to be friends with anybody.
Nope. And God bless her. Before that though, like I mentioned, the birthday party. So coming up to that, it was never really understood how that was going to work out with the three of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, was that a drop Reed off thing?
Yeah.
Pick him up? Was it her and Reed?
At that age, it's probably, I would think that it's probably a parent's thing too.
So I mentioned, I think on Thursday or Friday before that party weekend, I said to her, I said, hey, you're going to be, would it be bad if I told you I don't really want to go to this?
Right.
And the response I got was, oh, I don't think you were invited.
So you no doubt did a fist pump.
That kind of hurts hearing it that way.
Yeah.
The blow could have been, and I don't know if she's been taking classes from Annette on bluntness, but that could have been softened with a, oh, don't worry about it. You don't have to go to this.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah. We're
like,
just
oh, I know you got podcasts in the morning or just.
We're going to stop it. I mean, we'll be there 20 minutes max.
You weren't invited was not the retort I expected, and that has stuck with me for about a month and a half.
I believe that the phrase that best sums this up is, you reap what you sow.
Mm. I don't know what you're referencing, because like I just told you, you and I, the best dads.
I mean, am I surprised by that? In no way. No, I would not expect you to be invited to really anything.
I just told you I'm reaching out. I want that.
You're not, though. You're.
I want that acquaintanceship.
Not friendship. Again, so you want what started this whole conversation off. You want this golf relationship. You want a golf relationship where you may get together once a week, but it's for a specific purpose.
Yeah. Like, I want it saved in my phone as, like, dad of the booger picker in the yellow coat.
I just realized we have the golf relationship. We'll text from time to time.
Yeah.
It's typically about the podcast.
Sure.
We get together once a week, record the podcast.
What'd I tell you? Acquaintances.
And it, wow. This is like, I'm having an epiphany right now. Like, I don't know. What's your favorite color? No idea.
Yeah, I'll never provide it. You could. Should we exchange? I think it's a really good idea.
Okay.
Not like the newlywed game, but like questionnaires to fill out for your longtime partner.
Yes.
We need to find those and fill them out for next week. So I will guess what your favorite color is. All of those things.
Yeah.
We'll do that. Let's plan on that next week or in the coming weeks.
This is going to be great. Now, that's beautiful. Is this something that we'll do beforehand or will we try to do it live on the podcast?
I think we should have them filled out before, because I don't know if the audio of you and I just scribbling will be good for the audience. But yes, let's do this and then we can tweet out the pictures and all of that. Oh, this is great.
So we need to.
Idea we've had since that piece of junk Jeep you bought 7 years ago.
So we need to find some kind of like best friend quiz or
yep.
or something.
Easy.
Call it whatever you want.
BuzzFeed's been around for forever, Steve. We'll find it.
So it's got to be a list of questions that you should be able to answer about a long-term friend. Yeah. So next week, episode 397.
Should we wait and do it for 400? Like, should we build up to it and have this for 400?
So after nearly 400 episodes, we're finally going to determine if we're friends or not.
There's a boatload of these going around. I just typed in best friend and then typed in the letter Q and it automatically filled it with quiz questions.
You got to get rid of the best.
Oh, yeah. Friend quiz. There we go. But to answer your question, the last friend I made, probably 2016.
2016. Okay,
and I've seen him maybe once a year.
Okay.
So this because he lives away.
Okay.
2016. His name is Ryan. Hey, Ryan, if you're listening, no idea why he would be. Lives in Florida.
Florida, huh?
Yep. Got a wife.
Sunshine State.
Two dogs.
Yeah.
Visited him.
Okay.
Right? Like, I visited him in St. Louis, so that means friend, right?
What's his middle name?
We'll get to that friend quiz.
Can't wait. I am so excited about this.
I wonder if he's right-handed or left-handed.
Well, Ryan, if you're listening, maybe we'll send this quiz to you as well.
What size shoe do you think he is?
Boy, I couldn't even begin to guess.
11?
At Steve and Kyle, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We've got a bunch of polls up there on Twitter and Instagram.
Polls on Twitter and Facebook this week.
Yeah, Twitter and Facebook this week. So check them out, at Steve and Kyle.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you next week. We'll find out if we're friends or not.
See ya.